Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man-god or an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. Purport. The principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, as we have already discussed, may be followed by the follower of any faith. There is no need to turn from Hindu to Mohammedan to Christian or some other faith and thus become a renegade and not follow the principles of religion. The Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. The principles of religion are to the dogmas. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Continuing. The principles of religion are not the dogmas or regulative principles of a certain faith. Such regulative principles may be different in terms of the time and place concerned. One has to see whether the aims of religion have been achieved. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the real principles is not good. A secular state may be impartial to any particular type of faith, but the state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion as above mentioned. But in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be indifferent to such religious principles, and therefore under their patronage, the opponents of religious principles such as greed, falsehood, cheating, and pilfery will naturally follow, and so there will be no meaning to propaganda crying to stop corruption in the state. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Slakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to start with one very, very nice verse which I found in Bhajana Rahasya book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a very beautiful verse in Bengali. Jai Shri Chaitanya Chandrera Bhakta Chandragan Sabara Prema Jyotasnya Ujvala Tribhuvan. Translation. And this is for the glorifications of Vaishnavas. All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine, the full light of love of Godhead, illuminates the entire universe. So I pay my respectful obeisances to all the followers of the Chaitanya Chandra. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Please bless me so I may say something of value, something which is of benefit for all of us. So you can actually see that this purport by Prabhupada is kind of tackling the modern political situation in the world. And I'm not planning to go that direction, but it's just interesting how Prabhupada is just, he can, in a very profound way, pick up the problems and difficulties in the modern era. He can, in a very precise way, just say, this is the problem, this is the difficulty, and also simultaneously, this is the solution. So this is the profound teachings of our Acharya. So, in this section, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit is speaking. in the previous verse, we can hear the glorification of the predecessors, how King Parikshit was glorifying. We have inherited the fame of Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need to fear for your life. We can see how this chapter is kind of starting revealing itself more and more. First, the Kali was attacking the Dharma personified and the Mother Bhumi in the form of a cow. Then King Parikshit, he understood that this mlecha, this personality in the form, or he was wearing a garb of a, how do you say, of a king. But his actions were speaking more loudly than what he was actually wearing. So then we see that how King Parikshit was not hesitating, not even for a second, and pick up his sword and was ready to kill, chop him to pieces, boom. He was ready to do it as a very profound kshatriya, or as someone who was following in the fame of his predecessors, the Pandavas. And then we can see how the revelation happened. Revelation in the sense that the cloth of that shudra was of no meaning. It lose its meaning. Right? Usually whatever we wear, it somehow signifies our status, our position, even our internal mood, right? So I'm looking in this direction, and somehow by the mercy of the Lord, the saffron is taking over, and it's just very nice to see. And also the deities are today dressed in saffron. So it means that certain colors, certain ornaments, and certain paraphernalias that we surrounded ourselves, they represent who we are, what do we follow, and what is our goal in life. So in the situations when things are getting tough, actual internal mood will show up or come onto surface. So that's exactly what happened in the position of this Shudra, Kali personified. So when Maharaj Parikshit started attacking the Shudra, threatening him with the sword, what he did? He was not acting as a kshatriya, but rather he just fell down and he put his head on the floor and said, "I surrender unto you. I don't want to fight. I cannot really fight because you are a very great king." And he started flattering Parikshit. And then King Parikshit gave him shelter. But what kind of a shelter he gave? He delivered shelter, but same time simultaneously protecting the dharma. And in this section, in this verse, it is said that if you will take the position of a king, this is what will happen. Incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, vanity, all of these characteristics and all of these activities will be predominant in the society. So there's interesting thing that sometimes we are in a distress due to the leaders in our society. Not Krishna conscious society, but in the society is at large. States, countries, communities, they are very much in a distress. Look what kind of a people are in charge, right? The president is corrupted. The ministry is corrupted. This person, he takes money in his pocket. This person, he sells the country, he sells the land. He does like this, he does like all the time, constantly. You can see it from all the different angles. But let me tell you one thing. Those leaders in the society are a result of your consciousness. The leaders that you selected through democracy are the result of your way of thinking, feeling, willing, acting. And they also are a result of your intelligence, of your level of intelligence. Because imagine you have 10 intelligent people in the room. And if those 10 intelligent people in the room have to select one person amongst them, they will select the most intelligent one. Correct? So that leader is a result of that society, of those people in the congregation. So next time when you're going to be saying that this person is so corrupted or pointing fingers, just think about that they are a result of the consciousness of the country, right? So it happens all around the world, and especially in America, right? Last 4 years, there was a rule of one person, one individual. And there were two camps, one being glorifying that person, and another camp was hating that person, hated or loved it, right? But everything, all these leaders that you select are the result of your consciousness. So same thing, in the times of these Raja Rishis, of these great personalities, people actually have no chance to vote. There was no voting system. Because truly ask yourself, what's the value of votes of people which are Shudras, which is lower than Shudras? What is the value of a vote of someone who have no idea how to rule a country? What is the value of your vote? There's no value. Because you are not an expert, you have no understanding. Therefore, there was not a democracy, but there were kings. And these great kings, they had certain characters, they had certain values, they had certain understanding how to rule, right? There's a saying that a lion is not, how is it said? Lion doesn't really care about the voices of the sheep, something like that, I'm paraphrasing. Do you know exactly how it goes? Yes, paraphrasing, yes. So, yeah, lion doesn't really care about what the sheep thinks, doesn't really care. He's not really touched by the mind speculation or the speculations of the mind of the lesser animals. Why? Because he knows what is wrong and what is bad. So Prabhupada mentions one very interesting thing. He says that state as such doesn't always, secular state doesn't really care about the specific religion always followed in that country. Why? Because, you know, everyone has a freedom to do whatever they want, of course, if it's in the boundary of the law. But what country actually is interested in is the result of the activities of that specific religion. Correct? In the Bible is mentioned that you know the tree by its fruits. So same thing, you can understand the values of the religion or the dharma by the people which are following it and by the activities that they perform. So all these activities like irreligious or, you know, gambling, basically breaking all the four regulative principles, are sign of those which are following adharma. First two or three chapters of the first canto, when you're listening to Prabhupada's classes, constantly Prabhupada is speaking about dharma. And then he established what is actually a dharma. Right? In the modern connotation, Prabhupada sometimes referred to dharma as religion. But then on the other hand, Prabhupada said, no, dharma is not a religion. Correct? Because religion is something you can change. You can change your religion. Prabhupada says here, you can be Mohammedan, you can be Christian, you can be Hindu, whatever you want, Buddhist. That's not dharma. Dharma means is something which you cannot change, right? And then Prabhupada continues, what is the dharma of water? To be liquidy. What is the dharma of sugar? To be sweet. And so on. What is the dharma of chili? Is to be spicy. So dharma is something which you cannot change. So you have Swadharma and you have Sanatan Dharma. Svadharma means that I have this body, I have this mind, I have this intelligence, I have these needs, I have these propensities. Therefore, I need to utilize them, but in the goal to achieve that Sanatan Dharma. So this is what is this section about. That Maharaj Parikshit, he understood that this Kali personified, he's a personification of irreligious principles. So how can I give you shelter? I cannot give you shelter in my kingdom. And as the verses will be progressing, we will see the decision of Maharaj Parikshit. So the moment you start, or you put yourself in a position, or you put in a position where you have when you're a leader, either of the society or a group or anywhere, we know through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that you actually also take karma of different individuals, those which are subordinate to you. Good and bad karma. So there's once a pastime of Sanatana Goswami approaching Lord Chaitanya. And Sanatana Goswami with a very great humble mood. And Srila Prabhupada in one class, he establishes first the position of Sanatana Goswami. He said, materially speaking, he was a very, very valued and very important person in the government. right? He was very intelligent, he could speak many languages, he was a very learned scholar, and he was called Pandit. And materially speaking, he was very efficient and very profound in his governmental dealings. But then, with all humility, he approached Lord Chaitanya and he said, "Who am I? What should I do? What is the goal? And how should I act?" So Prabhupada then glorifies that a person who's in a leadership position, he should not be only materially sufficient in his dealing, materially intelligent, but also he should understand the goal of life. And then Prabhupada was speaking many times about the importance of two high varnas, right? The brahmanas and the kshatriyas, the real, real importance of brahmanas and kshatriyas. Because if you think about it, the Varnashram system is actually based on desires. The Varnashram system is equal to your desire. So whatever desire you may hold, that also reflects on your Varna and your Ashram. So if your desires are purely based on some kind of a materialistic enjoyment, satisfying the senses, and have sense enjoyment as much as you can, unrestrictedly, then you're a Shudra, even lower than that. If your desire is slightly more subtle than that, and if your desire goes to wealth, to gathering, and to a certain degree to give protection and shelter, then you're a Vaishya. If your desire is even more than that, that your desire is to give protection, to govern, to maintain, to facilitate, to allow others to grow, and to take that leadership position, then you are a kshatriya. And even subtle than that is, if your desire is to accumulate wealth in a form of knowledge, education, and sheltering others on their spiritual path, then you're a brahmana. So Varnashram system is a manifestation of your desires. And we spoke about this before. It's from subtle to gross, always. Everything here in this material world is from subtle to gross. Everything in this material world is here to facilitate your desires, whatever they may be. Whatever desires you have, this material world is here to facilitate them to a certain degree. So to a certain degree, the Varnashram system is there to facilitate you. But then the last step of Varnashram system is to go beyond that, correct? To find that I'm just like that prayer. I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya. I'm eternal servant of the gopis, Dasa, Dasu, and Das. That's your actual ashram. Ashram translation means shelter. So question yourself, where is your shelter? Where you take your shelter from? And what are your desires? So first, the Varnashram system functions to shelter your material desires, your material acquisitions, your material desires, your material focus. But then the goal of Varnashram is to go even beyond that. And Parikshit Maharaj know that very, very well. These characteristics, and I'll repeat them: greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, these are gates. All these activities and characteristics, they work as the gates. They work as the gates into the true age of Kali. So ask yourself, do I possess of any of these in whichever quantity or quality? Do I possess, are these gates within me? Are these gates there for me to kind of drag me down? Do I possess these? Treachery, cheating, quarrel, vanity. So, personalities like Maharaj Parikshit, they had the vision, they have the understanding. They understand that if there is a character, it's a manifestation of something subtle. But then, in the same time, the dharma of kings is to give shelter, to give protection. That's why he had to a certain degree, he had to facilitate Kali personified. And Prabhupada continues in a very, very heavy way that no meaning to propaganda crying to stop corruption in the state means that, let me tell you a story. I had a friend from my old days, and he was not the brightest of people. Sweet person, but not the brightest. And as you kind of live, as your life continues, you somehow lose touch with different people in your life. And at one point, I kind of saw like a pamphlet. And he wanted to become like part of a, how do you say, like in a state you have different groups which want to present their agenda in the country, in the state. How do you call them? Political parties. So he joined a political party. And I was thinking to myself, he doesn't really possess those characteristics to go to a political party. But one thing he had a desire. He always wanted to like be someone. He always wanted to have some kind of a position, some recognition, some power, some wealth. But not the characteristics of a person who should be in that position. So this make me really like baffled, that people are actually want a certain positions in their life, not based on the true position which is required to do, if that makes sense. Right? If you want to go to a politics, it's not to be wealthy or not to be famous. The reason is to help others. So ask yourself, if you want to be a leader or if you want to be in a certain position, why you want to be in that position? Why is that your desire this specifically? And always challenge your reasons, right? Challenge your reasons why you want to perform certain activities. Like if you look at Arjuna, right? When he was baffled in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, I don't want to be a king. I don't want to kind of be part of this administrative class when I killed all of my friends, all of my family members. I'm ready to give this up. So his desire to rule, or his desire to kind of, was based on to helping others. So we can apply this in our life. So when the modern state or the modern country tries to kind of changes all these difficulties which are happening, like people abusing drugs, alcohol, they actually, what they're tackling is the result. They're tackling the activity itself, right? If someone has difficulties with alcohol, they want to send him on rehab. If someone has difficulties with drugs, they want to send him on rehab. Well, what Krishna consciousness is actually doing, he's not tackling the activity itself, but rather the root of that activity. Where is it coming from? Why? Why your desire is to enjoy it in such a lower manner? What's the root? What's the bija of that activity? And Srila Prabhupada, he had this transcendental vision that he looked at devotees, and many devotees, they share these realizations and reflections that Prabhupada could see right through them. Prabhupada could see all these anartas which are within them, but yet nevertheless he still accepted them with love and devotion. So as it is, the saying goes, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So what we should do when we preach Krishna consciousness, we should actively attack the sin itself, in the sense that yes, maybe you have problems with certain addictions, but you can deal with them like this. You're a nice person. You just want to be happy. When people are actually abusing drugs and doing alcohol and all these negative things, which are actually destroying the society at large, people just want to be happy. They're actually crying for help. And why I'm saying this, you may ask, how is this is related to this specific verse? It is mentioned that the state can actually always recognize the positive influence of the right dharma, right? So devotees in Krishna consciousness are requested to not do, you know, these all these religious activities, no intoxication, no meat eating, and so on. So all these activities which you restrain yourself from have a positive influence on the society at large. And this the society has to recognize. This has to be recognized by the government. Why? Because we are not creating negativity amongst us. So going back, so when you preach to the people which have these sort of difficulties and you try to help them based on a spiritual platform, what actually happens is that you're giving them opportunity to see things differently. You clarify, you purify them. And this purification in itself is an act of greatest charity. Right? You may ask yourself, why Harinam, why book distribution, why prasadam distribution? These are all activities of the greatest of charity. People which are charitable may not always be polite, but their politeness is reflected in giving you something which is of great spiritual value. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was such a cutting person, in the sense that he was considered to be, he was called a Simha Guru, a lion guru. And he was, his preaching technique was no compromise. He was not compromising anything. He just presented things as they are, based on religion, based on philosophy, based on Srimad Bhagavatam, according to time, place and circumstances for the benefit of everyone. And this is, we can see this in the life of Maharaj Parikshit. He was not compromising. He said, I will spare your life, I will give you shelter, but not in my kingdom. I will give you shelter, but you cannot hang around in the places where are under my jurisdiction. And then Prabhupada says, sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the real principles is not good. So this is very interesting. Following the rules and regulations without actually understanding the reason behind the rules and regulations is actually very dangerous. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Shri La Prabhupada ki. So what does it mean that following the dogmas are dangerous or is not very good? Because you are not questioning. You're not questioned, but you just follow, and that's dangerous. Following something just based on some kind of a sentiment is not of, there's no value within it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing that I desire that my disciples are intelligent and question me. Think about the things. I don't desire to have 100 dumb followers, but I desire to have one person who really understands the principles of Krishna consciousness. And if that one person can go back to Godhead, my whole mission is successful. So this is what it means to be a dogmatic person. Many times on book distribution, I've met many different denominations. And one thing I shared to all of them is, I actually pose a question to them. If you give me intelligent questions and satisfy me here and now at this point, I will convert to your religion. I said, I'm not a Hare Krishna monk. I'm not a follower of a particular sect or a faith. But I'm here to follow the supreme truth. Can you present it? Can you answer my questions? And if you do answer my questions correctly to my satisfaction, I have no problem to give up anything and everything I have now. And believe it or not, people don't have the answers. What do they have? They have dogmas. They have blind following, right? They don't challenge things. But more and more, actually, we can see this, the people are somehow opening up. They start challenging the dogmas they've been following rigidly before, like sheep. Like, I have few friends which I met on book distribution on Sankirtan, young gentlemen, professionals, and they're all coming from certain denomination, most of them. And they've been very strong in their faith, but in one point it was just not satisfying them. There was no satisfaction. And what do? They inquire. So Prabhupada says there are four different people which come to spirituality, and one of them are those which are seekers of the absolute truth and those which are inquisitive. So if you are inquisitive, that's actually a very good sign. That's a sign of intelligence. So we always request those which are followers of Krishna consciousness to be inquisitive. Always inquire more. Why this is happening? Why is the reason? What does this person meant? Prabhupada said, I'm writing all these books for your benefit, for you to understand them. So don't be dogmatic, right? If someone asks you why you're putting mud on your forehead, you need to know the answer. If someone asks you why you're wearing this cotton thread around your chest, you need to have an answer. If someone asks you why you're wearing this weird orangey color, you need to have an answer. If someone asks you why you're bowing down in front of seemingly a statue, you need to have an answer. If someone asks you why you're eating vegetarian food, why you're offering food to statues, you need to have an answer. Otherwise, you're a dogmatic person. That's the fact. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all the Bhakti Shastras are there to facilitate our spiritual growth and doesn't allow us to be dogmatic. You see, there's actually no space for speculation. And Srila Prabhupada, that's what he established. He established a society which is not based on speculation, but rather on facts, principles, dharma, good consciousness, good qualities. And same time, he's following these instructions of these Raja Rishis. When Prabhupada was, you know, observing different temples and traveling around the globe, he was ready to get the sword and cut all these manifestations of Kali personified within his society. He was not hesitating. So one thing we can take from this specific verse is that whatever position you have in the society, whatever your position is, make sure you're facilitating shelter for others, but that shelter is facilitated based on Bhakti Shastras, not on some dogmatic understanding. And for that we need to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada said, I'm writing all these books to get you to chant more. So you need to know why you're chanting in the first place, right? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Rasa. By chanting Nama, the Rupa will be revealed, the Guna quality will be revealed, and the pastime will be revealed. So everything which is in the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually hidden within the holy names. Because Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't give you anything else. It gives you Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Rasa. It gives you qualities of Krishna, it gives you pastimes of Krishna, gives you form of Krishna, and presents you the name of Krishna. And same thing with the holy name. So these two activities are always important to follow. Chanting and studying. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So if there are any points, questions, please voice them now. We still have 10 minutes, so please. Mother Harika.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a very enlightening class. I just have a question. So the people who appear and disappear from your life, is it because of your desire or their desires? Or is it an amalgam of both desires? So like, did Krishna have a desire to have two sets of parents? How does it work?
Nice question. Yes, karma is... Karma is very interesting. We cannot actually find the root of our karma. It's always constantly mingling. And because we are jivas, and there are many jivas around us, and there are many activities performed by the jivas, by us and by others, that means that activities sometimes we cross our paths. And in this way, like for instance... What was the name? Was it Vrishni? And... The previous life of Devaki and Vasudev, Sutapa and Vishnu. Yes, Sutapa and Vishnu were previous life of Devaki and Vasudev. So this means that in the previous life together they went through so much austerities to invoke sun like Krishna, sun like the Supreme Lord. And because there was no one else like the Supreme Lord took birth from the womb of Devaki. So that means that if you do certain activities together, they also, the result of that activity may be together. So you don't know, we don't know how many of us had some, you know, previous connection. We have no idea how many of us have been friends, enemies, from our previous lives. We don't know. But we will be, there's definitely many of us. It never happened to you that, let's say you met someone for the first time and there was just a click. Yeah, I can relate to whatever you say. I think I already know you. So all these deja vu kind of moments, they could be a result of our previous connection before. And in terms of two parents of Krishna and Vasudeva Nandan and Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Maharaj and Devaki and Vasudev. Well, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are eternal father and mother of Krishna in Vrindavan. And the tapasya of Vasudev and Devaki somehow or another bounded Krishna with love, and he descend as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So yeah, there's always a desire of Krishna to facilitate the desires of his devotees. Thank you.
Srinivas Prabhu, you had the hands first.
If the mic could be passed, please.
In a Brihad Bhagavatam, it is explained how Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they pray to Lord Brahma for his blessing. That when they descend, the pastime Krishna does with them, when people recite these pastimes in the future, they'll become liberated.
Mm.
So it's through Lord Brahma they got the blessing. Whereas Vasudeva and Devaki, they did a lot of austerities with their own way. So so they didn't get the highest blessing like Mother Yashoda and Nanda did. They had to go through more purification to get Krishna's mercy. So it seems from Brihad Bhagavatam that if you get mercy of an advanced devotee, the mercy is easy access.
Mm.
Easy access to Krishna is there. But if you do it your way, it just takes a longer time.
Okay,
thank you for that. Ian Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your class. Really, really nice class. I was just thinking in regards to a democracy, or like a republican state, because you're talking about like the leaders being a result of our consciousness. In every republican state, or you know, just using that as a framework, it normally works on the basis of majority wins. So the person who's being elected as a leader might not have been my choice, but because majority voted for that person became a leader. And we're seeing that even in ISKCON, we're using a similar framework in making decisions. A council will say majority follows, and then this is what works. So what's the perspective of such kind of a view? Is the ISKCON movement actually opposing this, even though this is something that it's working under? Or what's your perspective based on that? Because it uses a similar framework as how the Republicans are working and things. So what do you think?
Even in the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, there was a group of elders who always made the decision. There was Upananda, which was senior brother of Nanda Maharaj, and the elders of the clan, they made the decision. But their decision was always based what is the best for Krishna. So the same thing in our society, the reason why we have councils, why we have you know, different organs which are helping to make decision, is that these devotees are senior devotees, experienced devotees, and ultimately we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So it means that Sadhu has certain vision on how things should be done for the benefit of Krishna, for the benefit of a devotee. So in the material world, when the different people come together and create different like councils and different, you know, organs to run a state, their desire is to, in the most altruistic way, to help a specific country. And what means that if there's one country which is flourishing, that means some other country is not. So there is always based on some kind of exploitation. And ultimately, their desires are to, material desires, to create a more wealth, more health, more protection, more opportunities for people to grow materially, but no spiritual framework. So, and as such, it is destined to fail. Because this world is designed that there should not be peace, and there will not be peace. So whatever decision, material decision you make, sooner or later, one way or another, you will fail. But in our senior, let's say, Vaishnava councils, these are meant only for your spiritual development. Therefore, already there, those decisions are successful decisions. If that makes sense.
It's because of the objective being material that it fails, not because of the framework itself, but because the objective is material. Because we're using a similar framework but spiritual, so that's why it works.
And this is interesting thing. In Prabhupada days, there were no councils most of the time. There was only temple president. And TP has the ultimate authority. So there was Prabhupada, then afterwards GBC was formed, and then his temple president. But what happens now these days, there are many different groups, this committee, that committee, you know. So more and more are created, and sometimes more minds. It's not always beneficial, you know. So if you have one person who's a strong leader and can make good decisions upon a variety of things, yeah, that was the way that Prabhupada inaugurated temple president. Temple president had the ultimate authority on everything. Sankirtan Priya Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. Just carrying on the similar sort of vein of the conversations that I've been having. It says in the purport, the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, as we have already discussed, may be the followed. Now, in any sort of organization, if those tenets are prescribed or at least followed to a larger extent, as best as the abilities of the individuals involved, then the decisions made, the decisions made for obviously keeping Krishna in center, but if those individuals are following those aspects, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, then by and large, any decisions made are for the benefit of the populace or the benefit of Krishna ultimately anyway. And so, although there might be different minds involved, uniqueness brings a vision that can be then ultimately be there to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So if individuals are following those aspects, then it becomes that much easier.
Mm.
What would you say about that? Is that a...
These four regulative principles are not spiritual principles. These are not spiritual principles. Many other denominations or many different personalities, groups, sects, they follow these four regulated principles to a certain degree. So they are not spiritual. Only if they are dovetailed, the result that piety, if it's dovetailed to Krishna consciousness, they then become spiritual. Otherwise, they are not spiritual. Many different people are vegetarians, you know, many people are practicing cleanliness, austerity, purity, this and that, but they are not spiritual. Therefore, by utilizing these four principles, and investing some spiritual value to them, then they become spiritualized. In terms of more devotees or more people following these four regulative principles, I mean, if you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was one king, one emperor of the whole planet, right? There were many smaller kings, but ultimately those smaller kings been following the rules and guidelines and instructions of the emperor, of the great king. So I would say everything is based on qualification, right? I mean, there's no harm in following one leader like we've been following Prabhupada, right? So if there are any committees and if there's necessity for those committees, then why not? Whatever is practical. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was always saying. Whatever is beneficial for your spiritual life should be accepted. Whatever is not good for your spiritual life should be rejected. If I may just read one thing for all of you. This is from 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is Uddhava Gita. And if you look at all these qualities, you can see how the Kali is entering. So the question is there any hope for us? And this is like very nice quotation. I said it recently to Ian Prabhu. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur giving his commentary in one of the purports of 11:14:27-28. This is the verse. A devotee thinks, even if I meet with so many impediments, and even though I am full of offenses, I will never for a moment give up the service of the Lord. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are useless, and so I will never accept these as my paths. I am still very attached to the objects of this world, and I know that this will only bring me misery. I must go on in this way and simply hope for the day when the Lord will become merciful towards me. So hope against hope. So even if all these activities of Kali and these gates of Kali are present, even within us, in the society, there's always hope against hope. That Krishna one day will shower us with his blessings. And that's it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanande. Jai.